Your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter 105 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter number 105. And for many of you who are visiting today, we've been in a series. This is part 7 of this series now, Heroes of the Faith. And we're diving once again into the life of Moses. The life of Moses. And I know it sounds weird to be in the life of Moses and be open up to the book of Psalm, but that's where we're going to be for the next couple of moments. Then we're going to jump back into the book of Exodus. And so you can kind of go back and forth, but we're going to start here in the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter 105. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 105. We're going to look first of all at verse number 5 here in this passage of Scripture. And once again, I just want to remind you that we do have a screen that is out right now, and so our PowerPoint will not be on today, but that is ordered. We've got two new monitors coming in, and then also for those of you in the overflow section, I know you've been kind of left out on a monitor here on your left side, but we've got one that's coming in there as well, so you can see me fine. And for those of you who are visiting with us in here, you might get weirded out that it looks like I'm looking at a wall. We got about 100 chairs that are set up in the overflow. And when I come down off the platform, it's hard for them to see me without running over here and peeking in. And just we got a new monitor that's coming in there, and it's going to be great as God continues to grow us. You just hang with us, and we're going to be putting more chairs and monitors in here. And God's just doing a great work. And but I just want to remind you, it might be a little bit easier to follow along in a PowerPoint, but just do your best with the Word of God today. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Share with the neighbor next to you, and or if you don't know them and that's a little awkward, just listen. I'm going to read the verse out loud anyway. Psalm 105, and I want you to look at verse number 5. Look at the first word here. It says this: remember. Okay, so this book here, this chapter is a book of remembrance of God's wondrous works. It says this: remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. And then we go into verse number 8, really through 16, is God's covenant, remembering God's covenant. And verse number 17 starts Joseph and how Joseph was used in a mighty way to save Israel. And then we know about 400 and so odd years they're in bondage. And so then we come to verse number 26. Remember, we're remembering, but I want you to look with me at verse number 26. Look what it says here. Remember now, He sent Moses, His servant, and Aaron, whom He had chosen. They showed His signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against His word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Here's what we're remembering. Their land brought forth frogs, abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all of their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. True story that we're talking about here, just by the way. He smote their vines and also their fig trees and brake the trees in their coasts. Verse number 34. He spake and their locusts came and caterpillars that without number and did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. The psalmist here goes kind of into detail, to be honest with you. Some time had passed since these events had been taking place, but yet here in the book of Psalm, the psalmist remembers them and then begins to tell us that we're to remember these events. He challenges the people to remember the great works of God, to remember the judgment and the plagues that had taken place. Therefore, there must be a reason why you and I still have listed out for us everything that took place. And especially in the book of Exodus, in great detail what God had done in the land. So this morning I want us to take this kind of view with this passage of Scripture. And I want to preach a message today. Why the 10 plagues? Why the 10 plagues? Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, so much. Lord, that we do have people here living in 2021 that are willing to take a stand for You. Lord, the song that we just heard from Brother Mancroni, Lord, how it speaks to our hearts. We want to be that man. We want to be that woman. We want to take a stand for you. Help us to do that, Father, in this day. Father, as we come to this subject, why the 10 plagues? God, give us what we need today. Why, Father? Lord, as we ponder this question, may it be real and applicable to our lives. As we give some background, some things that really historically took place. Father, it's not a fairy tale. This is not made up. Lord, this really happened. So help us to understand why it's preserved in your inerrant, inspired word, even to this day, this culture, and this generation. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We saw last week in chapter number 7 that God tells Moses these genealogies once again and begins to remind him in great detail of the renewed promise that God was going to take his people out of this bondage that they were in under the Egyptians. We saw last week that it's still a very, let's put it this way, it's still a very difficult task, no doubt, that Moses was going to have to carry out. There's no doubt that he was nervous. There's no doubt that we read last week that it was going to take great faith, but then also it's going to take great obedience for Moses each and every week, as we're going to see, to march in and to take on the most powerful man that existed in the world, historically speaking, at this time. Now we begin to dive in into really this Pharaoh that's saying, no, thank you. This Pharaoh that's saying, I'm not going to let these people go. Again, I don't know who your God is. And to be honest with you, I've heard some rumors of who you are, but you know, I like the way that life is. And we even saw last week how he began to be even more harsh on the children of Israel at this time. Now the plagues come. We've heard of them if you've grown up in church at all, or maybe if you haven't grown up in church. You've seen maybe even some Hollywood movies based on the 10 plagues that came into Egypt. They were very harsh plagues. In the passage we just read, there was a remembrance of how harsh these plagues were. But there was a purpose for them. What was the purpose exactly? Well, if we were to take the time today, we could say this. One of the purposes, if we want to take a couple weeks and go through it, could be God's judgment upon people that reject Him. The purpose could be to show proof that God is God. Now, this covers several chapters of Scripture. And so if you're taking notes today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down Exodus chapter number 7. And then I want you to mark and put a little dash there through chapter number 11. The Scripture and the passages in these chapters, they are fascinating. They're incredible. They really are in detail. But it goes to show you and I living today the plague and this passage of Scripture that it's found in, but also some practical proofs of why they're there. Perhaps we could say once again, it's that proof that God is God. The first plague that came about was there was water that was changed into blood. This comes in Exodus chapter 7, in verses number 14 through verses number 25. Now, I want you to stop right here for just a moment. I want you to think about this. Now, I don't have time to go through each and every one of these, but let's just say this. Let's just put ourselves there for a moment. We're going to say that Pharaoh says no to Moses once again. I'm not going to let the people go. Sorry, but you're out. I'm going to keep things the way that they are. So Moses is going to turn all of the water into blood. He reaches out his staff, and the Bible goes into detail that even the puddles of water that were there turned into blood. The Nile River that's there, a great river, is going to be turned into blood. Their pots of water is turned into blood. Look, let's put it this way. After plague number 1, most of us in this room would have been done. Would we not have been? I mean, dude, let's just put it in perspective. I know I'm a dad and I'm a husband and there's a lot of things I can put up with and I'm raising five kids and I'm not one of these if my kids throw up that I'm really bothered by it. I'm okay with it. Like, I'll help clean up and I'll help carry out. I'll hold their hair while they're in the commode potty. And I don't mean to put us in this state of mind here for a moment, but I just put it this way, that I'm okay with it. Okay. There's some things that are gross that I'm okay with. We've got a dog in the house and so on and so forth. So there's gross things that I'm okay with. But I will say this. I'm not real good with blood, okay? And you can make fun of me later, but to be honest with you, there's a lot of men in this room. You know you're with me. You're not real good with blood. London Terry last night came in. It was like, Dad, my tooth is loose and it's ready to come out. You know what I said? I didn't say, get a paper towel, let me pull it. I didn't say, let me get a string and tie it to it and I'll slam the door. I didn't come up with one really cool YouTube video. Guess what the words came out of my mouth? Go see your mom. I ain't doing it. There ain't no way, girl. Like, I mean, I can't even watch stuff like that. It's as bloody as who is this? Okay, she's 6 years old. Pastor, you sure you want to go? Yes, I'm sure I want to go there. I'm not okay with it. Therefore, let me put it this way. Plague number one, if I'm Pharaoh, I give in. That's it. Turn it back. I am out of here. Let the people go. Okay, but Pharaoh, no, he keeps fighting. The first plague here is blood. Understand that this is proof that God is the Lord, the God of redemption, the God of the only living and true God. The second plague is frogs, frogs everywhere. Chapter number 8, verses number 1 through 15 goes into detail. Probably one of the most nasty things about this is after the plague was over, the Bible says that they had to put all the frogs in the piles and it stunk and it was nasty. This is going to be proof that God has no equal, that no one is like the Lord our God. The third plague is, check it out, for all the moms in the room, you're done after this. It's going to be lice. The Bible says that Moses struck the ground and the dust became as lice. I don't know if you've ever gone through lice in your home before, but, you know, it's not a fun thing at all. It's disgusting. It's nasty. Some of you know how to get the little comb and kind of go through. And yep, I grew up with 7 sisters. Okay, let me just put it this way: 7 sisters. And one time we were really little. I was probably 5. Lice hit our home. And for my poor sisters, man, everything had to be put in plastic bags. I'm not sure why, but all the stuffed animals in plastic bags, and they had to put this chemical in there. It stunk so bad. I remember, look, I'm 5, and I still remember this. And they had to go through all these chemicals, and if you've just gone through this past week or year or month, and you're saying, I'm having flashbacks, I'm sorry, but I just remember it. And I remember my mom came to me, and she's like, all right, son, you don't have to have the chemical in your hair. Number one, you don't have lice. I'm like, that's right, because I'm the only boy, and so we're tough like that. She said, but I'm going to have to buzz your hair. And I got my hair buzzed. Nonetheless, I'm still struggling with that, but it infested the land. Some of you look good with shaved hair. I do not, okay? I just don't. I got a little bit of bald spot up here, and I'm really paranoid about it. In fact, if you're taller than me, I usually stand on my tippy toes so you can't see the top of my head. But it's just me. I'm sharing too much today. Okay, the third plague infested the land. Watch now. This is proof that the finger of the power of God controls everything from the very dust of the ground. The fourth plague was flies. Flies that swarmed over the land. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not huge on dinners on the ground. I grew up in Alabama, North Carolina, Tennessee. And just to be honest with you, dinner on the ground never worked out really well. I'll tell you why. It was either windy or there were flies. Take your pick. I'd probably take wind. But I'm not big on eating watermelon. Anyways, flies had struck the land. It was awful. They were everywhere. Understand this, that this was proof that the Lord is the Redeemer, the Savior, the only living and true God in every land and in every place. The fifth plague, a severe disease, killed all the livestock of the field in Exodus chapter number 9. This is proof that the hand of God controls the animal life of all the world. The sixth plague was festering boils that affected all of mankind there. All the Egyptians got it. Boils all over there, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. In fact, the Bible is very clear that when this plague went on, the magicians that had been there for every one of these Pharaoh's magicians, they couldn't even show up to this plague and try to prove that they could outdo God, because the sickness of their skin, this is proof, watch now, that God has the power over body and health. How many are thankful for that today? Would you say amen? Proof. Comprehend this. The seventh plague was a severe hail and firestorm. Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 13 through 35. This was proof that the earth is the Lord's. The eighth plague was locusts that swarmed all over the land in Exodus chapter number 10. This was proof that the Lord is a great Savior over all of mankind and control of all insects. The ninth plague was darkness that covered the land. You could not see it. It was dark for days. Now some of you are like, now if I had to take a plague, it would be kind of cool to just sleep for a couple days, catch up. Nobody's going anywhere. We just all lay down, put on some Christmas music, little Bing Crosby, little Frank Sinatra. We're just going to sleep for a couple days. But to be honest, after a couple days, it would have been awful at that time. The tenth plague was the death of the firstborn. This is proof that God is God, period. I love the song that we sing, who spread the clouds before Him, who fashioned the earth with His hands, who created the starry hosts and formed the earth at His command, who scatters lightning before Him, who commands the rain and the snow to fall, who makes the nations tremble, who is Lord over all. He is Almighty, unchangeable God, King of kings, Lord of lords, robed in majesty. He rules and reigns for all of eternity. Almighty, unchangeable God. How many are thankful for that? Amen. What a God you and I serve. You see, we can take the time today and why do we have to remember? Why do we have this as a remembrance? Well, it could be the purpose to prove that God is God to those who reject Him, but it could be God showing that He is the only true God. You see, if you do a study, and it's really a fascinating study, every time a plague struck, it was right in the face of the gods, little g, of the Egyptians that were living in that day. Every time a plague hit, it was right in the face of all of the magicians, of all of the religious folks in that land, all of them at that time. It's them worshiping these false gods. And God steps on the scene, and every time a plague hit, it was right in the face of their false gods. The river turning into blood. They used to worship a god, Nilus, the god of the Nile River, of water who controlled the waters of the earth. Think about when the frogs came and the second plague, the frog-headed god, Hecht, was a goddess of reproduction. This was one of their biggest gods in that day, and yet they would call out to this false god, and this false god is not listening. How about when the lice came? Sheb, the god of the earth, the idol was worshipped in hope that he would bless the earth by making it productive and by protecting the earth and the land of Egypt from natural catastrophes. Then the flies came. Think about this. Beelzebub, the god of the flies, he was worshipped in the hope that he would help the disease-infested flies go away. You could just hear them calling out to Beelzebub. Hey, Beelzebub, help us, help us, help us. Get rid of the flies. God of the flies, come. And yet, the one and only true God was the one that was in control. How about the livestock that were struck with plague and disease? This was the god Hathor, or Apis, a sacred cattle god from Memphis. They were worshipped as gods, as reproduction and fertility, as gods who would protect those who perhaps were raising the cattle, or perhaps those that were raising the livestock at that time. Then there was festering boils. This is Typhon, the evil one-eyed god, worshipped in hope of averting plagues. How about the hail and the lightning storm that hit and was astronomical to anyone who happened to be out in the fields? And Moses even warned them to bring in. Now look, I know I'm going into detail, but watch here now. He even warned you need to come in. And those that stayed out in the field, all the cattle and those that were out in the field, they literally died from the hail. Iris, the god, the water god, and Orias, the fire and lightning god, and Shu, the god of the atmosphere, they were all worshipped and they were all called upon. Then came the locust. This was Seraphis, the insect god, worshipped in hope of protecting them from locusts. Let me put it this way. That god did not do them much good during this time. How about the darkness that came? This was Ra, the sun god, worshipped to protect against natural disaster from the sun and to provide warmth and light and fruitfulness. Oh my goodness, they could call to Ra all they wanted to, but the darkness was not going away until God lifted his hand. How about the death of the firstborn? This was Pharaoh's final draw. This is when he finally let them go. This is Ta, the god of life. The plague may have been attacking all the gods of Egypt, demonstrating clearly that the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh, was the only God redemptive for salvation. He was the true and living God. That's why I love when Isaiah said, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no other God." If you believe that, say amen today. We could go on really for weeks preaching on every single one of these. In fact, several weeks ago, I just had a wonderful time going through each and every one of these plagues. And goes through about 4 or 5 chapters of Scripture and in great detail. And there's something that's applicable for every one of us through every one of these plagues. But what I want to struggle with for the next couple of moments here is I think that's something that we all struggle with. This word has been a buzzword for many a years, especially in independent Baptist churches. I've almost come afraid to use it anymore. And unfortunately, sometimes it was taken out of great context. Some used it for their own personal gain. Some stood on soapboxes every Sunday. But understand this, that the prince of power of this era is still using this today, just as he did in Moses' day with Pharaoh, the evil one that he was fighting. You see, this word is compromise. Trying to compromise with God. During the course of these plagues, Pharaoh offered to let God's people go. In fact, 4 different times during these plagues, Pharaoh stepped up to the plate and said, Okay, we've had enough. Stop it. That's it. Just let him go. Just let him go. And he went back on his word. Or he would try to compromise with Moses, trying to get Moses to make a deal with him. 4 times he offered to let them leave, but each time he would attach a condition, a compromise for their leaving. He was saying, look, I know God said to let my people go, but first, here's what I want to do. I need you to compromise. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to make a deal. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to meet in the middle. He wanted Moses and Israel to trade that with what God had promised for something so much less. Now listen. Watch very carefully. My friends, God wants you and I to live a life that is spirit-filled and blessed, not just in heaven, but also here on this earth. If you believe that, say amen today. God wants to bless our life. But the devil wants us to trade the blessings of God for really the garbage or the trash or the dung of this world. He will offer you and I every compromise at his disposal in attempt to lead you and I astray. Listen, college student today. Listen, teenager today. There is always going to be the God of this world that is leading you and guiding you and directing you. But I'm just going to put it this way today. Listen to me, young person. There is always going to be Satan that is after your life, that is after your future marriage, that is after your testimony, that is after your career, that is after, look, everything that you devote to God. Satan may not be able to take it from you, but he is going to say this, just give me a part of it. It's okay, just to meet in the middle. Do you really need to go all the way? And listen, young person, I'm telling you here today, there are many of old older generation that sit in this pew right now, and each and every one of their lives would tell you, don't you give in, don't you compromise, don't you give an inch towards Satan. You give it all to God, because why? In the end, it will be worth it all when we see Him. Worth it all. There's a compromise that's going to take place. The first compromise was this. He said, why don't you just sacrifice here? I want you, if you would, take your Bibles and flip back to Exodus chapter number 8. This is the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And I want you to look at chapter number 8 and look at this first compromise in verse number 25. Exodus 8. Now, I'm going to move quickly, so find your place here in verse number 25. Look what it says. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, now watch, go ye sacrifice to your God. But look what he says here, last three words, in the land. Pharaoh's saying here, okay, let's compromise. Let's meet a little bit. Moses, time out. Let's make a deal. You can serve God, but you don't have to leave Egypt to do it. You can serve God. Okay, I get it. Time out. I'm sick of all this. Oh, get rid of the place. If you're going to worship God, but just do it. Just do it right here. Stay in the land. Christian, comprehend. This is the same deal offered to you and I today. The devil comes to you and I and say, hey, let's compromise. Watch. You go ahead and you be a Christian if you want to. But don't you change your lifestyle. You can be saved and you can be like everybody else that's living in the land. You can be saved, but let's make a deal. You don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to do that. You just worship right here. That's what he's saying. You don't have to change anything. But Moses refused Pharaoh's compromise. Look at verse number 26 and watch what Moses said. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. We shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice the Lord our God as He shall command us. Watch now. The sacrifices that would have been offered. Here's what Moses is saying. If we're going to stay here, and if we're going to sacrifice, the sacrifice that we're going to give is going to be very offensive to those Egyptians that are around us. The Egyptians consider cattle to be sacred animals. The Egyptians would have never understood the command of worship that the one and only true God had given to His people. The commands that He had given to His people, they would have not understand. Listen very carefully. Nothing has changed today. The world cannot possibly understand the worship of the Spirit-filled Christian. Why? Because the buzzword today, listen very carefully, the buzzword of 2021 is tolerance. The buzzword of today is we just tolerate everybody. Can't we just all be tolerant of each other? Can't we all just come in one accord? Can't we all, doesn't matter if it's to the God of Israel or to be a Wicca or to Buddha or to Allah, or to whatever God you want to. Can't we just all tolerate each other? And the God in heaven says, absolutely not. No way. I have given you a command. I am the one and only true God. Listen now. The message of the cross is not a message of tolerance. It is a divisive message that the world does not want to hear. But friend, I want to remind you and I today that the false gods of this world, they are dead. They are in a grave. You go to that grave, their bones or their dust is still there. But the God of the universe sent His only begotten Son. His name was Jesus. He conquered death. He lived yesterday and today. And friend, He'll live forever. I'm not interested in tolerance. I'm interested in God. I'm not interested in compromise. I'm interested in God. I'm not interested in the world's ways. I'm interested in what thus saith the Lord. And friend, if it was ever a day and age, as Brother Manconi sang today, for you and I to take a stand, that stand is today. Why? Because Satan will tell you that you can have Jesus and you can have the world too. But friend, let me put it this way. He is a liar. You will either embrace Jesus and Him alone, or you're going to embrace the world. But you and I, we cannot have it both ways. If you agree with that, say amen. Well, Pastor, that's your way of thinking. No, it's not. Well, that's what you and the fundamentalists, that's what you believe. Okay. But I'm more interested in what God says than what somebody else thinks. Who's with me today? And the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You will either live for Jesus and be committed to Him and be offensive to the world, or vice versa. And let me put it this way. Listen, Overflow. Let me put it this way. Every one of us have to take a stand. There is, I'm going to put it this way. How many believe God's coming back? Say amen. There is no time to play Christian. I'm not here to play church today. We didn't put on a show. Brother McCroney, who sang, Pastor Blake, who played the piano, for all of our orchestra, they will tell you, a lot of hours going to practice, our choir who sang. Go check it out. You ready for this? None of them get paid. They're not on payroll. How much did we charge you for your ticket to come in here today? Nothing. So we say, well, 10%. Okay, take it up with God. That's not me, okay? We didn't charge you anything. For the visitors who are in here today, you know why we're here? We're not here to play church. No, we're here because God commanded that we should come in and we should worship the one and true God. That's why I love, I didn't know, to be honest with you, Dr. Chris, I had never sang that second song today. I don't even think, literally, hey, here's a mint. Thank you, whoever threw this at me. Okay, I never sang that song today, but you know what? I really loved the words that we sang in that song. You know what? We came in, I mean, I don't know the song. You know, I'm going to try to sing it. I'm going to do the best that I can. Why? Because God's commanded me that I'm to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the compromise of the world, it's the same compromise. Moses, you go ahead and worship. But you just worship right here. You don't have to go anywhere. Moses said, no, it's not what God commanded. We're going to go three days out, and we're going to do it God's way. Compromise today. You be saved. Go ahead. You accept Christ. But you don't change anything. You have to do anything. Love, joy, peace, all that stuff. That's take it or leave it. But you just be who you are. No, friend. You know, we ought to be a real people that splash Jesus and splash His love and His grace and His mercy. Who greet that? Say amen today. But we ought to be. Why don't you just sacrifice here? There's a second compromise. It says this. Why don't you just stay close? Look at verse number 28. It says this. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only, check it out, you shall not go very far away in treat for me. Okay, you're not going to stay here. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's not going to go over very well. Our worship's very different than yours. They're not going to understand it. They're going to kill you. So, 3 days? Woo! 3 days, a long way out there. So, I tell you what. I'm going to let you go, but don't go 3 days. Just entreat me. Just don't go very far away. He said, look, Pharaoh's saying this. Let's compromise. If your people must separate, then do it, but I want you to stay close. Again, this is the same compromise that is offered to many believers by the enemy today. He says, okay, let's compromise. Hold on. You go ahead and you be a Christian, but just don't take it too far. Yeah, look, okay. I think Michelle's here today. Michelle got baptized here a couple weeks ago. Brother Ben is here today. Ben got saved this past summer. I was looking around at some of others who just got saved. Now look, for them, they're coming in and they're new and they're getting the hang of real worship to God and what it's like for devotions and discipleship. Look, they're getting the hang of all this. Now watch. What's going to happen, Ben, and Katie grew up at church, but with your new husband and Michelle, with all your friends, and even I think you got guests here today. I apologize for putting you on the spot, but I'll meet you after church. Okay, so nonetheless, here's what's happening. Here's what's going to happen. Satan's going to come to a new Christian. He's going to say this. Okay, you gave your life. Good. Woohoo. God gave your heart to God. Wonderful. Got baptized. A little bit bigger deal. You know, show everybody what team you're on. That's good, but... You have to go all the way out. I mean, really? Read your Bible every day? That's a little bit crazy, don't you think? Sunday morning? All right, go on. Sunday morning. Be in church, but Sunday night? Are you serious? Wednesday night? Did they not know what culture they live in? These fanatics. Oh, they're crazy. Don't listen to them. No. Give your life to Him. Okay, but tithe? Really? Offering? I mean, you know, times are tough right now. Have you seen the price of eggnog lately? It's going up, Christian. And you might want to be careful there. Oh, Visa and MasterCard, you know, they're not super forgiving. And so, okay, give your heart to Him, but maybe just don't go too far. Let's put it this way. Okay, look, Moses, go and serve, but stay close, okay? Don't be one of 3 days, seriously. Don't be a fanatic. I mean, that's just stupid. That's too far. And yet, that's the compromise we're taking today. I don't want to pause here too long, but I'm going to say this. I'm following the Holy Spirit. This is not in the notes at all. I'm going to put it this way. I'll be honest with you. I think we have compromised too far, and we've given Satan way too much, even when it comes to our kids. We give way too much. Sunday school, really, do I have to be in Sunday school, 9:30 is awful early, okay, and good grief, I mean, look, we've given coffee, we are literally giving coffee away now, okay, free of charge, come be here at 9:20, you're going to get free coffee. How many like coffee? Say amen. How many are hot chocolate drinkers? You're weird, don't even say amen, okay, we like coffee, we'll give away. We got to be a church, that's just, Put it this way. We're never going to compromise a ball practice. Uh-oh. Pastor went to meddling. We're never going to compromise the day of school. School doesn't start at 9:30 last time I checked, unless you're homeschooled. 12 years right here, baby. I know what I'm talking about. We're going to be there 5 days a week. Cheerleading? We're going to be there. Boy, I'm here to tell you. Basketball practice, absolutely. Get the fundamentals down. Coach Titus is what we were talking about. They got to be there. Boy, they need to learn character and, boy, teamwork. And this is really going to get them into a great college. Let me tell you, that's good and that's great. And my kids are all into it. And I'm all for it. But let me put it this way. God forbid that we never compromise on something that is temporal and something that is down here and begin to compromise on something that is going to change lives and change Marion and Hendricks County for God. And God forbid we begin to compromise on the things of God. Look, as Pharaoh said, look, you can go, but don't go too far. Don't be a fanatic. Let me put it this way. Satan is after our marriages. He is after our kids. He is after our grandkids today. And he might not get them to just go totally the world, but I'm here to tell you how he's getting them. Just compromise a little bit. Don't be a fanatic. Don't go all in. Free to thrive. Who's ever heard of that? That's ridiculous. Be in the Bible every day, good grief, and you'll grow. Don't you listen to those people. No, friend, may we get back to the very Word of God and never compromise on what God said is important. And I'm here to tell you what's important is the very things of God. Well, I have two more compromises. I'm running out of time, so you have to compromise and go a little bit late today, so just hold on. Compromise number three, you ready for this? Why don't you just leave your families? Exodus chapter 10, look at it with me. I'm not making this up. Look, go to chapter 10, look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, "And Pharaoh's servants said unto him," now here's his own servants, "how long shall this man be a snare unto us?" This is Pharaoh's, these are his dudes. They said, "How long is he going to be a snare unto us? Let the men go. I mean, look, let them go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" I mean, I don't know if you looked around, but we're eight plagues into this thing, and we've lost everything. Verse number 8, Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. He said to them, "Go and serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go?" I mean, who's going to go with you? Moses said, verse number 9, "We'll go with our young. We're going to go with our old. We're going to go with our sons and with our daughters. We're going to go with our flocks and with our herds. Will we go? And we must hold a feast unto the Lord." Now look at verse number 10. And he said to them, okay, hold on. "Let the Lord be so with you as I let you go. And your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now that ye are men, just the men, and serve the Lord that ye did desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Now time out and look right here for just a moment. Pharaoh says, okay, let's compromise. Let's talk about this. Even my guys are saying, Egypt is about to be wiped off the map. I mean, this is an economic catastrophe that has just taken place. So we're gonna say go, but why don't you just go, but just the men go. Not anybody else. He says, look, you take the men, you go serve God, but the rest of your family, just leave out of it. Satan is doing the same thing today. He's going to say, let's compromise. You want God? Then go ahead. But don't try to change those around you. You want God? Okay. You want to give Him your heart? Well, okay, then just go ahead. But you go ahead and you leave the rest of your family out of it. I don't know if you've realized it or not, but Satan is not here to play. He's here to destroy. While some Christians are playing church and playing compromise, Satan's feasting. While others think, "Ooh, I'm taking a big stand because I put money in the offering plate. I came to church and it's not even Easter or it's not even Christmas. I'm being a good Christian because fill in the blank. I read my Bible every day. I'm faithful. I'm a good person." Listen, hold on. Time out for just a moment. While some are playing church, while some are playing Christianity, Satan is not just going to play a game. This isn't a Nerf war. This is battle. The Bible says, watch now, be sober, be vigilant, be aware. Because your adversary, as the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He says, look, I don't care that maybe you gave your heart to God, and I'm okay with you going to church, but I tell you what, let's compromise a little bit. You do your thing, but you leave your grandkids out of it. No, you do your thing, but you leave your neighbors alone, they're mine. No, you go ahead. You play church. You read your Bible. You put on your little tie. You go jump on that organ. You go jump on that piano. You go do your thing. But the person who sits in the cubicle next to you, you leave him alone. Your husband, your wife, leave them home. They're happy at home sleeping in right now. Just leave them be. Just don't touch them. Pharaoh said, let's compromise a little bit. You go do your thing, but you leave your family here. God's going to return when His bride stops doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I think we're pretty close to that right about right now, Christian. Week after week, we'll come to church. Week after week, we'll bring our Bible. Week after week, we'll be involved. But you know what? We were created for so much more than that. We were created not only to live the gospel, but to give the gospel out. I love the visitors that I praise the Lord of. Man, last 5 or 6 weeks, Nicole, I had to ask you, I mean, we have had visitor upon visitor upon visitor. And we've got visitors here. We've got visitors that are back today. We got visitors in Life Stage Group. I'm just thankful for that. Amen? Amen. Do you know why that is healthy? Because that's what the church is all about. It's why you and I are not whisked out of here once we're saved. Yeah, look, I love hanging out with you. I do. I love hanging. You know, I love your family. Sure, let's hang out all the time. Let's hang out. Pastor Dan, I love you and Tammy. It's great and it's wonderful, but let's just be honest. We're not made just to come in and on Sundays just hang out with each other. We got some visitors in here today that, you know what? Maybe they've never been in church. Maybe they've been hurt by church. Maybe they despise church, or maybe they're here today because this is the last straw. This is it. I'm going to try one more thing. Let's give religion a shot. You know who we ought to be? The very people that reaches out to those type of people. Mix it up a little bit. Get to know somebody. Invite somebody this next week. If we live this next 7 days and never share the gospel with anybody, have we really lived 7 days? Are we really living for Him? If we're going to go and we're going to live our life here, here's what Satan says. All right, Christian, you can go worship. I want you to go do it alone. Now, I want you to watch this last one, and we'll be done this morning. Compromise number 4. You can go worship, but I want you to surrender all your possessions. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse number 24. Look what he says. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, now look what he says. Go ye serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For therefore we must take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with that we must serve the Lord until we come thither. Watch what he says. Listen now. Don't shut your Bibles, but watch. It says this. Look, I want to make one more compromise. Okay, we've done it. This is it. This is the last deal. Check it out. Look. If you must serve God, then you go ahead, but you leave your possessions behind. You want to go 3 days? You want to be a fanatic? Fine. Go for it. I'm over this. But I tell you what. Bring your young with you, but you got to leave your possessions here in Egypt. Take yourself out of Egypt. Here's what he said. But I want you to leave your money here. It's the same trap that many fall into today. Satan says, you want to be a Christian? Then go ahead. You be one. But you leave your resources in the world. If you want to give God your heart, then you go ahead. But you just keep on living in the world. It's a sad truth, but many fall for this compromise. The devil in a day-to-day comes and attacks. And if we're saved, then there's really nothing that he can do about it. We are saved. He cannot take our salvation from us. But understand this. He will still try to get you and I to invest in the world more than we invest in the eternal things of God. You want to go to church? Fine. You want to even take your family to church? That's okay. But listen, don't stop investing in the world. Don't stop living life for the here, the now, and your dreams and your aspirations. Understand this. Many of us today, we've given our lives to God, but we give our time to the culture. We've given our hearts to Jesus, but we've given our kids time to the world. Many of us have given our lives over to Him, and He saved us.
but we still would give our money to the world. Now, time out right here. Here's what every visitor here just did. Yep. Yep. I knew it. Pastor Shepherd is no different for the rest of them. Every time I come to church, I hear about money and how I should give. And Tom says, okay, fine. I'll put it in the little box on the way out. Or go ahead and give your little commercial. Time out. Hold on. It's not a commercial at all. You want to give to God? Give to God. You will follow His commandments, His obedience, your God, then follow His commandments and obedience. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't sit here with a marker or a little clipboard. Remember the clipboards back in the day? Or iPad for you younger generation. And sit here and say, Haping's a little behind on your tithe. Okay, we'll get that caught up. Carrie, did you not put yours in? That's my wife, so I'm picking on her. Carrie, did you not put your tithe in? And Pastor Chris, let me tell you something. We just might want to catch up. Look. And I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know what you give. We just follow obedience and we give. But let me put it this way. You ready for this? Christians, Christians, Tom Rader said, give more towards dog food than they do the local church. We're hurting. Well, we'd like to get more missionaries out there. We're tapped down on a missions budget. Well, yeah. I've been meaning to do something about that. Do you know on average, we spend more on our cell phone bill than we do supporting a missionary to go to a foreign field? Oh yeah, you go ahead. You be a Christian, but just leave all your possessions here. You go ahead and serve God. Go out there. Fine, you want to be a fanatic. Go ahead and be a fanatic. Fine, you want to bring all of your family. Go ahead. But just listen. I want you to just leave your possessions here. No. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm here to tell you today, friend, we can't give up. We can't give in. We cannot compromise one bit. Why? Because He's coming back, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you and I are going to stand before one day, and you and I are going to give an account for the things that we've accomplished right here on this earth. There is no time to invest in this life. There is no time to live for this world. No, God said, go out and worship me. And friend, He meant it. And He's telling you and I today, don't you give, don't you move. You just keep worshiping me the way that I want you to worship me. You keep giving, you keep investing. Why? Because 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now, there's going to be many that realize, I compromised. I gave my heart for Him, but I lived for the here and now and forgot about eternity. And when we live by that compromise, we forget that there are lives that are weighed in the balance. And they're going to spend an eternity in a place called hell. Meanwhile, we go on our little vacations and we live our little lives and we fulfill our little dreams. And we compromise because we got our fire insurance. And we don't live like there is a heaven coming. But friend, there's a heaven coming. And it's going to be here soon. And it's going to be great. And we're going to get to see our Savior. Wow. Jesus. We're going to get to see Him face to face. And I think at that moment we'll realize, I compromised. Can't compromise, friend. We have to stand. We got to stand. I probably may get in trouble for doing this, but I'm just going to call an audible here, and I'm going to ask Ben during this invitation to sing that song that he sang, Stand. And we're going to stand our feet, and we're going to bow our heads, and we're going to close our eyes. And while he's singing that song, I think it's time for us as Christians, from those who are just saved, like a Ben and a Katie or a Michelle, to those who have been saved for 50 plus years, from members to visitors alike, to college students to teenagers, for us to step out, to get on our knees or sit on this front pew and just say this, God, help me not to
to compromise, but help me to stand.